A few months ago, I was attending a birthday party for a friend of mine up in the hills of Saratoga, and he's got a big, huge, fancy house up there that's nestled among his vineyard. It was a big party, and there was not a lot of parking at his house, so he suggested to all of us to go ahead and take an Uber up and Uber back. That way, you know, you can enjoy all the nice wines that he'd be pouring, which, of course, he always does. And so it was a big party, like 200-300 people. Now, we're not talking like a small party of friends, right? We're talking about a large fiesta. So anyway, so I go up, I get an Uber up, and I have a great time. And the time to go, I pull out my phone to order Uber, and there's no cell phone reception. I'm thinking, surely a man with a house this size could have a nice bit of Wi-Fi somewhere. And even if it was out in the field, so we had to go into the barn, the Wi-Fi. We eventually connected to the Wi-Fi, and we eventually got one or two Uber cars to come up to us. Now, you got to understand, there's hundreds of us trying to get down out of this house. None of us were in cars. So anyway, so I said to my friend, he got a car. I couldn't get a car yet. They got a car. And so I said, look, I'll tell you what. I jump in the car with you. He was going up to San Francisco. I was going to say, I said, just get me down to the flatlands and I'll get cell phone reception and I'll order my own Uber. He said, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, jump in. So I jump into the car, and when we get down there now, we're on Saratoga at 85, right? So they're going to go north in 85. I said, just leave me here. And he said, well, it feels weird just leaving you here in the street corner. Father, I'm not sure I want to do that. And I said, no, I'm fine. Look, and I pulled up my iPhone, and there was five Uber cars within 3 minutes. So they're all, you can see them on your Uber. They're all like flying around like little bugs, right? So I said, no, look, I'll order it. I ordered it. It says 3 minutes away. Hop out of the car. He said, okay, all right, call him if anything's up, you know. So I said, okay, no problem. He drives, gets on 85 North. I'm standing in the corner, and my phone goes dead. I went, oh, what do I do now? And so I couldn't call him. And it was so funny, I didn't have a watch to call anyway, you know, to even look at what time it was. Now, I knew it was around, somewhere around 11:15, right? So I said, if I stand right here, then the Uber car driver will know this is where the last signal came from. So I won't move. He said 5 minutes, I'll wait. So I looked like somebody who's waiting for somebody. Nothing comes. I'm not sure how many minutes it was, but it was sure more than 5 minutes later. So after 15 minutes, I'm standing there, and I said, now, what do I do now? I couldn't, what do you do? You can't walk home on the freeway. You're not allowed on free walk in the freeways. It's quite a bit of a walk. I said, well, I walked down to the gas station. I figured the nearest gas station was a mile and a half. And I said, but they don't even have payphones anymore. So, and all the cars were coming by. I wasn't dressed in clerics, thank God. I would have looked really, I was dressed in my regular, you know, I was dressed in a sweater, so I wasn't cold quite yet, but it was getting cold. And then I said, I could walk up to the nearest church in Saratoga and knock on the priest's door there and said, hey, not that, no, I better not do that. He probably won't answer anyway. So I said, I'll do what I used to do, thumb a ride home. So I went under the freeway pass, and like a good homeless person, stood at the traffic light and put out my thumb. And the first person came by, looked at me, and drove around. And I began to feel like a homeless person at this point. The next person never looked past me, just pretended I didn't exist. Now remember, I'm standing underneath the freeway at 85, and the freeway is this way. And so I'm trying to figure out what do I do now? Nobody's going to stop for me. Like, I'm standing like in a tiny little piece of concrete at the traffic light. And then I pull out, and I said, I'll try at least one more time. Pull up. Person pulls up, rolls down to me, hey, Father, how are you? Good evening. Hi. Oh, Father, you want to ride home? I'm just on my way home. I said, that'll be excellent. Thank you. I hop into the back of the car. The longest drive of my life to get home. One of our persons lives just down, literally two blocks from my house. Now, one that could look at that one and say, wow, God was really taking care of you, right? I thought to myself, that was pretty providential. There was really nothing I could do. My friend was staying with my dog, so he knew I was somewhere. My other friend was in San Francisco. They were all talking to one another. Where the heck is he? You know, nobody knew where I was. So eventually it would have sorted out. But as I thought about that at first, I said, wow, God was really taking care of me. Like, that was really, like, you couldn't get much better than that. I was like, so I thought about that today when I thought about the Epiphany. I said, like, a moment of light where God was clearly present, like a light shined. Ah, here's a car on the way home. And then I thought to myself, well, what if he hadn't picked me up? Well, then I said that God was not taking care of me. What if it was more complicated and I had to walk home? What I then say was God was not on my back at all, that I was on my own, that God didn't care about me. One has to be very careful about how one assigns how God takes care of us, because the flip side can also happen. Like I hear, and I'm sure you heard, so many stories of people who on 9/11 were on their way into the towers, and at the time something happened, they were messing with the kids, were troubled, and they did something here and did something, and they missed the train or they missed thing and never got into the building, and the building came down, and they said, God was taking care of me, God blessed me in a special way that day. Okay, one could look at that and say, yeah. So the other 5,000 people in the building, God wasn't caring for. Ooh, you have to be very careful when we start assigning how God operates in life, because there's a flip side to it. Because when we hear and we say that, then any person who's lost anyone ever in their life will say, does that mean my family, my mother, my father, my daughter, my son was not being cared by God? See, one has to think the whole way through before we even start to assign how God operates. The reality is what God says is he is there at all times, the good times and the bad. He isn't as fickle as we are. He doesn't go when we want to go. He's always present to us. And what happens in our life is that we get these moments of clarity where we see God ever present. In a demonstrable way, and we say, ah, yes. But be careful to frame it in a way that it doesn't exclude everyone else's experience. Because I've heard that time and time again, of how God operates with such certainty, which might suggest to other people in their life that God's not in their life. So today we celebrate the Epiphany, and we celebrate how a star in the sky led the Magi to the baby Jesus. Now, where was every other Magi? Where was every other person? Were they not watching the star, or was God not talking to them? Now, look, we don't know how. We can't say for sure that God doesn't operate this way. But it's my experience that God is in all things, at all times. And that it's we who lose the sight of it. And today was the Magi, tomorrow it might be you, where you see very clearly a sign that leads you to God's presence. But he's also in the ordinary. He's in the ordinary touch of your spouse tonight on the way home and says, I love you. Or the look and a kiss of a parent to a child and says, I love you, thank you for being who you are. Or the tender care of an elderly parent. Or when we reach out to 15 women who are experiencing homeless, we become that shining light of God's grace to somebody else. God is in all things and all times. It's us who need to see differently. So today, where do you see God? Tomorrow, where will you see God? And Tuesday, where will you see God? On Thursday, where will you see God? Because he's there. He does not show up. It's us that don't show up. So today, let's celebrate the presence of Christ in our life. At all times and in all places, let's see with eyes of faith.